This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
Okay, now we're aired. Okay, all right, because I'm wondering, like, where are we at now? Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard here on the program as we take you till I have no idea. But anyway, we got boxing tonight. I got Kansas and Marshall Tucker tomorrow night. Can't wait for that. How's that? That's at Magic City. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you want to go? Okay. I don't know. If you want to, I'll get you a ticket if you want to go. You all right? You're good? You're not going to go? Okay. All right. Okay. All right, if you want a jam, I'll take you to jam, bro. Okay, I'll take you to jam. But yeah, Magic City tomorrow will be a good weekend, man. You get a little boxing tonight at Hylia Park. Saturday, Marshall Tucker in Kansas over at Magic City. I'm going to have a little fun with that. So that's good. We're going to have Richard Williams, the guitarist for Kansas, a long time and original member of Kansas, is going to join us at 10:45 today. We will have Ira Winderman at 10:10. Yeah, I know we came on a little earlier because Ira's going to join us at 10:10. So I wanted to talk a little bit and get the show going in the right direction, and then, you know, get the flow going out here. And we're at Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines. Come on out, baby. Join us. Come on by and say hi. We'll be out here for the next few hours. And of course, great opportunity to get a brand new or certified pre-owned vehicle out here at Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines. Always make sure you tell them that we sent you here. Great sponsors of our program now. This is year 12, I think, now. How about that, man? Year 12 of sponsorship and partnership with Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines, and we are very proud of that. So we got a loaded show for you today. Ira Winderman will stop by at 10:10. Kansas guitarist Richard Williams will join us at 10:45. Manny Navarro will join us at 11. And Omar Kelly will stop by at 11:30. All right. Now, for those of you, next week, the schedule changes a little bit. And let's see. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have here? Okay. So I want to fill you in next week. Our insiders will be on Monday. It'll be Ira Winderman, Alan Poupart, Joe Shad, and Marcel Louis Jacques from ESPN will join us next week. Starting next week, Marcel becomes part of the family, and he'll be on two times a week. And we will have five Dolphin insiders with yours truly. That's six different people talking about the Dolphins every single week. You think anybody is covering the Dolphins better than we are right now? I don't think so.
No.
So make sure you stick here with us. Tuesdays, Cameron Wolf will take over at 10:30, Manny Navarro at 11:30, and Omar Kelly at 12:30. On Wednesday, Joe Shad will join us at 11:30. I was about to say the person that joins us at 10:30, but that's not official yet, so I can't say it. Thursday, we have another guest that I can't talk about at 11. Then Alan Poupart will be joining us at 11:30. And then Marcel Louis Jacques makes his return in his second go-around of the week at 12:30. Fridays, Ira Winderman at 10:30. Manny Navarro at 11, Omar Kelly at 11:30, and Cameron Wolf at 12:30, okay? So, obviously, best lineup here in South Florida, and it's growing. We're going to add more and more elements. They're already in the works. It's just, you know, finalizing everything and making sure it's all official so you can check it all out here every single day from the OK Coin Studios, all right? By the way, it's still kind of trading sideways, isn't it, right now? the market. I keep, like yesterday I was telling, you know, these are my problems, right? I'm telling Sean, I'm like, I'm pissed because the market is, you know, going up a little bit and it goes up to like 37 something, right? But yesterday at 4 o'clock, I'm sitting there next to him, right? And it went down to 35.8, right? And I was 35.6, I think, 35.7. I think I got it like at 35.8. And I was like, yeah, I got it at 35.8, right? And then, but I only bought a little bit because I was saving the rest because I think it's going to go a little, just a little bit more. I was hoping for the 33 or 30, you know, but it just doesn't look like it's going there. And so you can never time the market where it's going to bottom or where it's going to top. Anybody that tells you that, they're lying. Okay, we could all guess or get a feel. My gut tells me this or that. But, you know, nobody knows when the market's going to top or when it's really going to bottom. You know what I mean? You start buying the dip and you think you bought the dip and then it dips even, you know, lower. And you're like, oh, damn it, you know, that kind of stuff. What are you going to say?
No, I was going to say you should paint the picture a little bit better because you were on your phone looking down. I didn't know what you were doing.
Right.
And I'm sitting here and I'm working on cutting up some audio and all I hear is like, oh no. Like a loud out, we're in the weigh-ins, they're talking and I hear a gasp and I'm like,
yeah man,
everything okay? And then you look at me and you're like, I should have bought more. I'm like, I thought something had happened.
It did. I don't know if I'm gonna get 35.8 again on the damn thing. It's at 36.9 right now. Okay, which I'm making money on the stuff I bought yesterday already, you know, but I don't know if it's going to go. So I'm saving a little because I'm wondering if see what I tell you? You save a little because you think it's going to dip again. And I don't know if what I bought yesterday was the final dip or not because it goes back up and it's kind of traded sideways. And I keep telling you, if this is happening, this is a blessing to anybody that is investing in this. This will give you more time to keep buying Bitcoin, okay? I mean, listen, I got to tell you, you know what I would love? I would love to own a Bitcoin, just one Bitcoin. Did you see what Kathy Wood said the other day? She's ARK Investments. She's one of the baddest asses in the planet when it comes to investing. She's one of the top dogs up there, okay? She thinks that by 2030... It's over $1 million each Bitcoin. Okay. So, and she's normally like, you know, on target. All right. So she's really good. She's one of those kind of people you want to listen to when she talks. But I mean, listen, I don't know how high, if it'll go that high, but I know it's going to go. It's going to go because that's the inevitable. You know what I'm saying? And so to me, while it trades sideways, these are incredible buying opportunities. So if you can put $10 here and $40 there or 50, or God bless you, if you got 500 or 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000, God bless you. If I had it, I would put it. Okay. But if you get an opportunity to put a little bit more and take advantage now, because when you start seeing it go to the 60s and the 80s and over the hundreds and 200s, and you saw it sitting there in the 30s, and the low 40s, and you didn't take advantage, that's when you're going to kick yourself in the ass. And the whale manipulating that's going on right now, what they're doing is they're scaring out retail. Retail is you and me. And so then all the financial institutions and the whales are going to come in and buy it low. And so the rich people are just going to get what? Richer. You know why? They have so much money, they can leave their money there to sit there. That's what investors do. They have the patience. Why do I tell you all the time, do not get into crypto or really in any kind of investment if you don't have patience? If you need that money to pay for food on the table, then that's not good money to invest. If you need that money to pay the rent or the mortgage, that's not the money you invest. So if you're doing something because you have a timetable and you've got to get it back in a month or 3 months, don't invest. Now, if you're going to sit there for a long term, oh my God, you're going to win big time. But that's why I'm saying be patient. And this is only a buying opportunity of a lifetime right now. Okay? Whether it's Bitcoin, I've loaded up on Polkadot like crazy. I've gotten Polkadot at $16, $17, $18, and I'm staking it at $12.5. Oh my God. and the parrot chains and everything. Polka Dot is going to explode, I believe, Solana avalanche like. It's just a matter of time. So I am loading up on Polka Dot as much as I can. I'm loading up on my Bitcoin. Got a little more VeChain, got a little more Cardano. Cardano is also at a great buy. So it's a buying opportunity as it trades sideways is what it is. That's what I would say. Not a financial advisor, but somebody that does love and enjoy investing in crypto. Carlos Alvarez says, what do you think about Dable bringing in Dorsey as OC? Carlos, we had this conversation again yesterday. Why would Dorsey do that, bro? Why isn't he going to stay in Buffalo? Carlos, I get it, bro. You're a fan. Don't think like a fan. Think like a professional. Think like a man right now. You're Ken Dorsey. Don't put away your little pom-poms, your orange and aqua pom-poms. You've got Josh Allen and a hell of an offense and a defense. You're the best team in the division. You're a Super Bowl contending type team. If Dable leaves, what you do is you get elevated and you become the man in Buffalo, and you have an opportunity right away to establish yourself, and it's a faster track to head coaching. Whereas you come here with Dable, you still don't know what's going to happen. Come on, man. Let's use common sense. Why would Ken Dorsey be stupid? Listen to me. Why would Ken Dorsey be stupid to come with Dable to take the same job he would have in Buffalo? Okay? Am I honest enough now about this? Think for yourselves. Put yourselves in Dorsey's position. If you say you would go to Miami, boy, you're not being honest with yourself, or you're not very smart. One of the two. What is it? Are you a pathetic fan, or are you just like dumb? Think about it. Anybody, you put yourself in Ken Dorsey's position. If you leave with Dable, you're a dumbass. If you stay, that's what intelligent professionals do, because that's your best way to get promoted and move on in life. The other way is a big fat question mark. We have to stop asking ourselves that. Put yourselves in Ken Dorsey's position. Why would you leave that situation if you're getting the elevation to offensive coordinator? Think about it. For the weather. Richard, well, I mean, seriously, dude. Seriously. Seriously.
Could this be posturing by Dable or even Dorsey? Somebody putting it out there so that media puts it out there, and now the Giants are like, oh, wait a minute. He's trying to assemble, and now they give him more money or act faster to sign Dable?
No, I think this is kind of what's been – I just think this is the process right now that everybody's kind of taking their time. And here's the other thing. None of these coaches are, oh, my God, I got to have them. There is not one coach that's available except the guy I want, Jim Caldwell. Outside of that, and that must be the health thing, it must be the age and health thing that's holding him back. But there is not one candidate out there, not one, that anybody says, oh, my God, we got to have Nick Saban. And there's seven teams fighting for Nick Saban. Oh, my God, Parcells wants to get back in the mix. Bah, 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 bah. It's not happening. None of these candidates are the ones that you kill yourselves for. So I think that's kind of what it is also. They're really like doing their homework because they've got to make a decision. And it's not an easy one because they're probably all around the same. And there's a lot of question marks with all of them, because they're all unproven. That's just the way it is. Big O gonna look real bad if Dorsey comes here. Yeah, LOL. Yeah, no, and I look, and Francisco, I look so bad saying that Flo was gonna get fired in the middle of a winning streak. What do you think takes more balls, Francisco? To say that Flo is gonna get fired during a winning streak? To say that Ndamukong Suh signing is terrible on the day they signed him? To say that Joe Philbin will never work on the day they hired him? To say that Ryan Tannehill will never be a good, a real quarterback from the day they drafted him. I don't know, Francisco. You know anything about my track record? I'm wondering. 3 years ago, I'm the first guy that says you got to fire Dale Tallon. No one had the balls to say you got to fire Dale Tallon. Guess what they did? They fired Dale Tallon. Not sure, Francisco. You know my track record? I'm not afraid to say the things that you need to say. And guess what? They all end up doing what I end up saying. So, you know, what can I tell you? Once in a while, will I look bad? Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But don't freak out if Ken Dorsey does the intelligent thing and he stays in Buffalo. Because that's what an intelligent professional does. He actually does what's best for his or her career. But hey, you know who's also willing to say the unpopular? Ira Winderman. And he is next. We are here at Accurate Pembroke Pines. So why not have the Accurate Pembroke Pines Miami Heat and NBA report?
Heat fans, time for the best insight of your favorite team with insider Ira Winderman, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. It's the Acura of Pembroke Pines, Miami Heat and NBA report. Here's Ira Winderman.
Speaking of Ira and the Heat, Francisco, when they signed Hassan Whiteside, I said, terrible, terrible signing. So there you go. These are the things. It happens all the time in my 31 years.
Actually, when they signed Hassan Whiteside the first time, we were all on board out of the G League, and he was a revelation. It's when they said 4 years, $98 million, that we were like, years, $98 million. Yeah, that was the difference.
No, that's the one I said, no. I understand the method behind the madness, because they were hoping that they were going to turn him around, and Riley's love for the big man and his obsession with the big man. So I get all of that. By the way, do you think that nostalgia is finally gone from Riley, that he's kind of turned the page on no more old basketball, that center just doesn't exist anymore? They don't even read him anymore.
I think he's also taking a longer read on players who revitalize in Miami, that maybe you don't go out and reward them to the degree. Remember the Deion Waiters contract, the James Johnson contract, the Tyler Johnson contract. So I think the Heat, we're having it this season also with Caleb Martin and Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. Yeah. But no one's running out to give them 4 years, $100 million. So the developmental part has been great, but I think the Heat have stepped back now and said, you know what? Larger sample size, please. And I think that's important, because they went through the Deion Waiters, the James Johnson, the Tyler Johnson phase. And you know what? Like everyone, you learn from mistakes. There's nothing wrong in making mistakes, Big O. You were talking about Dale Tallon and other people. It's when you multiply your mistakes that you can question them. Dale Tallon made some bad moves early on, but the thought was, okay, let's give him some time. Brian Flores had some missteps, but you give him some time. But then, the definition of insanity is repeating, That's what happened with Brian Flores. Oh, crap, another bad start. How many of these can we survive? Dale Tallon, another Keith Yandel, another too late guy in his career. How much can we survive? So I think that's the difference. I think the Heat have learned from those mistakes. And if they have to make the hard decision, and look, some don't work out well. Big O, we know about the Jay Crowder decision. It helped Phoenix get to last year's NBA Finals. And yet, you know what? A year from now, we might also say, not the worst thing in the world. The Heat came around with the PJ Tucker signing. So sometimes when you learn from your mistakes, there are other kinds of mistakes. But at least you're willing to say, okay, this didn't work. Let's look in another direction. Just like with nonstop big men.
Before we continue with the Heat, on the NBA side, what's happening with the Simmons thing? Because obviously Shaq had his way with Simmons again the other night on TNT. Talk about how Embiid is a guy that you could criticize and he'll man up. But this guy, crawls into some kind of a corner. I don't know. I'm paraphrasing. But Shaq was kind of taking his shots. How long does this thing fester? Because that's also not productive for the franchise to have that lingering over them.
Big O, to me, if the Sixers don't make a move by the February 10th trading deadline, it's a big middle finger to Joel Embiid. Because here is a guy having not only an all-star season,
a great
but
point,
quite possibly an MVP season, and very much when you look at it numerically, a statistically like all-time season. You can't waste that. That's the lesson we learned from Dwayne Wade and other players when you didn't surround them. That's when Pat Riley said, okay, enough. Let's get Dwayne Wade Shaq. Let's bring in Antoine Walker and Jason Williams and James Posey in support. That's what you have to do. He did it with LeBron when he said, hey, we need Mike Miller too. We need Shane Battier too. We need Ray Allen too. So to me, the Philadelphia arrogance of Daryl Morey, if he does nothing to get the maximum possible deal, you're throwing aside a season of Joel Embiid. And let's face it, Big O, he is somewhat injury prone. You never know when he's going to go down again. I will say this. The Philadelphia 76ers are now in sixth place, two games behind the Heat for first place. If you add even a Buddy Hield or a C.J. McCollum, and if you can get it, a Jaylen Brown, I would, as much as I'm impressed with what the Heat are doing, I might vault the Sixers to the top threat spot in the Eastern Conference if they get something. But from a Heat perspective, I'm totally fine on them doing nothing because they roll out that team. And yes, you have a Danny Green. And yes, you have a Seth Curry. And they're nice players. But as you know, Big O, you need that second. You need that third guy. The Heat have done that with Lowry. They've done that with Bam. They've done that with Hero. You can sit down and debate for a long time who is the second best player on the Sixers. And if you're debating who your second best player is, you're probably not going very far in the playoffs.
No, you're right. I never thought of it that way, but you're so right that you're kind of wasting an incredible year by
Embiid. It's a middle finger. It's a middle finger to Joel Embiid. Hey, Joel, go out and bust your ass and give us 50 points a night because we need all 50 points. But you want help? No, I'm going to be the greatest GM ever and get the greatest swindle, and I'm going to get Bradley Beal, and I'm going to get Damian Lillard. And let's face it, Big O, if he does get Bradley Beal after the season, he's still wasting this Joel Embiid season. Not to denigrate or anything like that. I'm not so sure Joel Embiid can play better than he's playing right now.
Do you? Well, the talk is obviously with what's going on with Harden, because obviously this Nets situation is just so kind of screwed up here because everybody keeps talking about, well, if you get them all three together, but now whether you have the Kyrie situation, now people are talking about maybe James Harden's thinking about moving on after this season. And obviously Daryl Morey is over in Philadelphia. Is that the guy that they try to get?
Well, look, if you're trading Ben Simmons for James Harden, I'm moving the Sixers to the top. I don't know how they share the ball or any of that. But when you have those two players like that, you have a hell of a quality. And the Brooklyn thing is another example of you can't just willy-nilly pick three guys off the street. When the Heat did the big three, they went to Dwayne Wade. They went to LeBron James. They said, who's your number three? Who works best? Who will sacrifice? Will you sacrifice? And they came up with Chris Bosh. And they had a lovely run, four straight years to the finals, two championships. The Nets just threw a bunch of guys together because they were available. And now I think of James Harden sits there and goes, if winning is not the single most important thing to Kyrie Irving when it comes to this vaccination stuff and all his other stops when he's been unhappy, and if KD's going to get injured this much, he's had problems with Warriors, sat out almost a full season, now he has the knee issue again, do I really need this? So what I'm saying is from the start, the Heat big three were wed to each other. We're in this together. And if Dwayne has to play off the ball and LeBron has to be ball handler and Chris Bosh has to become three-point shooting center, we're doing that. But in Brooklyn, James Harden still wants to be James Harden. Kyrie Irving still wants to be Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant still wants to be Kevin Durant. And let's be honest, Big O, Kevin Durant wasn't Kevin Durant in Golden State. He also had a step back for Steph and for Klay also. So that's the difference. This whole thing of super teams, it's not just bringing great players together. It's bringing the right mix of great players.
Yeah, because the big three here manipulated it together to make it happen. So it was already a chemistry thing right from the get-go, where this was kind of, okay, let's force the pieces together.
Yes.
With Boston, you had two of them together, so then they went and acquired the third guy, who is a selfless guy in Ray Allen also. So, you know, that kind of, I think that's why maybe they jived together for so many years. And here's the caveat or the extra part of this whole thing that we learned. The first year, even with the three coming together, the franchise could not complete the puzzle around them And that first year they struggled and obviously lost to Dallas, who was not better as an offensive unit, but they were better as a defensive unit. And that's probably what was the difference.
And they were more cohesive.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
More cohesive as a team, and that matters. Right. You have to mesh. Matter of fact, Big O, I'm going to bring this full circle to get us back to the Heat. So last night you had, they selected the starters in each conference, and the next logical question becomes, who's the Heat's all-star? And right. This shows you when you play as a team. Because now the coaches are voting. You can make a case for Jimmy Butler. You can make a case for Kyle Lowry. You can make a case for Tyler Hero. And if you didn't miss the time, you can make a case for Bam Adebayo. And they could wind up splitting the vote. And I think at the end of the day, only Jimmy Butler is going to get in. Yet in no way is he the singular star of this team. Because in just as many nights, it could be Bam or Tyler or Kyle. But that's how this team is built. That's what makes a great super team. Or at least trying to be a super team. When you can't definitively every night say who your best player is, because it's a variety of players. You know in the Sixers, your best player better be Joel Embiid or you don't win. You know on the Nets at a home game without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant injured, it has to be James Harden or you don't win. It's going to be really interesting, and I think the coaches could split the vote. And I think every coach agrees. I mean, you know what's funny yesterday is they named the starters in each conference. Who's in first place in the East? The Miami Heat, they don't have an all-star starter. Who's in first place in the Western Conference? The Phoenix Suns. They don't have an all-star starter. Why? Because they have great ensembles of talent. You know, whether it's DeAndre Ayton, whether it's Devin Booker, whether it's Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, Bridges, however you can go down the line there in Phoenix, you have the same question. I'm really curious if the coaches come to a consensus that this player is the Heat's all-star. Because I could see some coaches saying, no, Lowry has transformed this team with his leadership. And I could see some coaches go, man, Tyler Hero has been the spark to that team having this record. It's going to be very interesting next Thursday when they name the All-Star reserves as far as where the Heat will stand.
Yeah, and I would imagine that a guy like Tyler should be getting some of that love when they announce the reserves. I mean, he's kind of earned that right.
But the guards are so good in the Eastern Conference. I mean, there's two guys to be
good too, man.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, but right off the top, I mean, you have to put Zach LaVine and Fred VanVleet in. They have been by far outclassed themselves from the remaining contenders. That only leaves three other guards. You know, then you're looking at guys like a Drew Holiday, and you're looking at some other guys from the leading teams also who deserve consideration. I think Harden has to get in because Durant's not playing because of the knee injury. Backcourt's tough. It'll be a lot easier for Jimmy Butler when you're going against the Jared Allen, maybe a Pascal Siakam. It's a less challenging course to get into the All-Star selection. So positionally, it could be impactful also. And I think you got to get a Cleveland player in. Darius Garland's been great. Jared Allen's been great. Cleveland's a half game out of first place. And the game's in Cleveland. So you have to keep that in mind also. Keep in mind the other thing, Big O. After the reserves are selected, you have your 12-man teams. Adam Silver then picks the replacements. He's going to pick a replacement for Kevin Durant. And like I've been saying on the show for weeks now on the Accurate Pembroke Pines Report, the All-Star game is in Cleveland on February 20th. Who the hell wants to go to that?
Oh, God. I was just there for the concert, and I had a good time, I will say, but it is kind of a gloomy thing. I would like
to have seen you convince the missus, let's go to Cleveland for a weekend in February.
Yeah, no. She was – I mean, it was Genesis – Pro Football Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm out of there. So it was 36 hours of that, and I'm out. So it was all good. Now, speaking of Zach LaVine, and here's – we got to appreciate this as Heat fans. Okay, so we got the Nets. They got their drama. We got the Lakers. They got their drama. We got the Bulls. You know, they're having a really good year, but all of a sudden the reports are – Zach LaVine's thinking about greener pastures next year, moving on. And you start to look at some of these dysfunctional situations around the NBA. And, man, not only are the Heat playing well, not only have they overcome every stinking injury possible and COVID to still stay in first place, but it's a cohesive unit. There's chemistry. They care for each other. There is zero drama right now. And I'm looking at Chicago, who's supposedly challenging for Miami for number one, and there's more drama.
Yeah, but the Bulls have done everything possible they could. The Lonzo Ball trade was a fantastic trade. You know, yeah. What did they give up? Garrett Temple. They gave up Tomas Sandoransky. Yep. Almost nothing there. What they've done to round out their roster with some of their other moves. You know, you can't question the way that they have pulled that team together. The Alex Caruso free agent signing. How much does LeBron James miss that guy? So, again, if management does right by you, if you're bringing a quality coach, of which Billy Donovan's a contender for coach of the year, that's all you can do. And if players get wanderlust and they want to be somewhere else and they think the grass is greener, that's never changed in today's NBA. You know what? Zach LaVine's decision will come down, I think, a long way to what Chicago does in the playoffs. And if it's another Bulls year of one and done, you might say, I've had enough of this. But you know what? If they get deep in the playoffs and it's going to be challenging for them, then I think it's another story. So I think we need to wait to the postseason and see what happens there.
Not that I give a rat's ass about the Bulls, but I'm thinking, wow, if I'm a Bulls fan, I'm having a good year. And all of a sudden, one of my stars in the middle of the good year saying, you know, yeah, this is nice, but I might be moving on. And it's like, damn, dude.
Hey, basketball free agency. Basketball free agency is like no other sport. I mean, it's just, you know, like we talk about, the reason we're on here in the Accurate Pembroke Pines Report in July and August is because that's when the stuff gets juicy. That's what basketball is. And again, it's a matter of who asked the question, how they asked the question. I can go right now. You want me to create controversy via Big O? So on Monday?
Let's go.
Okay. So I'm going to ask PJ Tucker on Sunday. I'm going to go to him. PJ, you have a player option next season for $7.3 million. Aren't you worth more money? And PJ Tucker will tell me he is worth more money. And Monday on the Accurate Pembroke Pines Report, we're going to talk about, oh my God, the Heat are going to lose PJ Tucker. That's what the NBA is. We're half sports, half gossip.
Okay. I like it. All right. I asked you last time, is Duncan Robinson turning the corner? Because another really good performance.
The Heat rotation is turning the corner. I mean, you look at the last game with Duncan's three-pointers. They're all coming off of Bam Adebayo assists. So yeah. We even said this. We said we thought even with Duncan's struggles, when Bam comes back and Jimmy comes back, Duncan fits. Again, Big O, it's about how your roster fits. It's not about players 1 through 8, and let's get the 8 best players. Duncan Robinson fits in a starting lineup with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. So as long as you know Bam and Jimmy are there, Duncan Robinson is exactly what you need. When Bam was out for 7 weeks, Duncan struggled. He didn't have his guy. When Jimmy was out with the tailbone and the ankle, Duncan struggled. There weren't those driving kicks. That's the difference. You're not only building a roster, you're building cohesion. And that's what you're seeing now. And the parallel would be even what the Panthers are doing. The way they built 4 lines of guys who fit together and Great. You make it work. So that's what it's also. It's about building a team, not building a bunch of stars like they've tried in Brooklyn.
Zito has been just, wow, dude. I mean, outside of Heat management, that dude has, well, he has been so damn impressive with the way he saw what this team needed, and he...
Well, let's also put in Jim Larranaga's roster building. He's learned to use the portal. He's learned to use, you know, older transfers. Oh my God, they got like 7 6-year seniors. Give the guy credit. He, you know, so many coaches balk at that. I'm not doing one and duns. I'm not going to the portal. I'm not going to bring a guy.
Well, We have less of those one and because they're going to
And Jim Larranaga has figured out the system. And a lot of times it's the older coaches who were very, you know, stuck in their ways. So I know he's not a GM. But I think for what he's done for his roster, he's done awfully well, that he belongs to be in the Zito Riley conversation.
If he was in one of those schools that brings the McDonald's All-Americans and all that, he would have national championships.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd be comfortable with that. I think he loves taking his 5-out offense and his guys shooting threes and double teaming on defense. I think he's having more fun now than if he had, say, a Mike Krzyzewski recruiting class. Not that he would ever pass on that.
There's no doubt about it. By the way, I don't know if I asked this because I was talking about this earlier. Does Spo belong with Shula, with Riley, and Ron Frazier? I don't know if I ended up asking you that.
Yeah,
last
we
week.
Did, and I said that Eric Spoelstra has been a better Miami Heat coach than Pat Riley. That's not to take away from what Pat accomplished, obviously, in Los Angeles and Showtime. But when we're rating the all-time best Heat coaches, Eric Spoelstra is number 1, Pat Riley's number 2, probably Stan Van Gundy number 3. That's the difference. With this team, Eric Spoelstra has been the franchise's all-time preeminent coach.
All right, tonight, any injuries, anything we got to worry about tonight?
Again, Kyle Lowry, the personal reasons, not getting into it. I can't
Why are they dying to find out?
Right, but not only that, but I can't understand people like who are getting angry. Well, he's getting paid anyway. Forget his contract. We all have families. We all have priorities. The Heat are not someone who's sitting by. This is not Lou Williams going for the hot wings at some strip club in Atlanta. Like, give the guy a break. Everything is – hell, they're 4-1 without him. So it's not like there's a crisis point, number one.
This is a good thing.
I've been told Jimmy's listening.
His body is resting. This is good. He doesn't need this mileage. They're winning.
Hey, look how Bam Adebayo looked after he came back from seven weeks off. Look how Tyler Hero looked when he missed three games with COVID. You have that. Jimmy Butler's listed as questionable with a toe issue. For all my older readers, he does not have gout, but he'll be fine. I heard he's taking a cortisone shot, so he might miss shoot around today, but he'll be there for the game tonight. So they should be whole enough. You know, the Clippers have been getting down by a lot. The Heat will probably have that same situation. Saturday, they have the Raptors. And again, this starts a run of 4 games in 5 nights. The NBA doesn't schedule these anymore, but because of the San Antonio postponement, they had to redo this. So when I talk to you on Monday in our Accurate Pembroke Pines report, it'll be 2 of the 4 and 5 out of the way. We'll get a better read as the Heat head out on the road.
And I'll close out with this, and I'll stay consistent. Early in the season, when they were missing some, what did I tell you about the young guys? This was going to be a blessing because it's what? Development time. Well, guess what? While Lowry's out, you know, we've always been a little concerned about the backup point guard position, how it's going to be handled. With him out several games, this puts Spo in a position where he can measure how he distributes the ball, how he runs the offense without Lowry on the court at times, because when we get to the playoffs, there'll be moments that he has to rest. And in those moments, he's going to say, this is how I'm going to run the offense because this is what I did when he was out. So this allows Spo as a coach to adjust. This allows the players to kind of define themselves while Lowry's out, who's going to run the team, how they're going to run the team, those kind of things in certain situations. This all becomes a blessing. If everybody looks at it this way, I think you'll see that that's the way it's actually ending up. A blessing for the Miami Heat because they actually don't need Lowry right now in the regular season.
You know what? Coming Monday on the Big O Show, Acura Pembroke Pines report, can the Miami Heat afford to keep Gabe Vincent? That's Monday, the Gabe Vincent update. We're creating controversy only here on the Big O Show.
I love it.
So smash that damn like button.
That's right. That's what you got to do. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heapy. Catch his work at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And subscribe, folks. Make sure you subscribe. Very important to support our local journalist. Ira, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Gabe Vincent Gate is only getting started. Thank you, Big O.
There you go. I love it. He is awesome. Ira Winderman. All right.
Heat fans, time for the best insight of your favorite team with insider Ira Winderman, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. It's the Acura of Pembroke Pines, Miami Heat and NBA report. Here's Ira Winderman. You've been listening to the Acura of Pembroke Pines, Miami Heat and NBA report with Ira Winderman. When you're looking for award-winning service and great deals from the number one volume Acura sales dealership in the Southeast United States, you go to Craig's in Acura of Pembroke Pines at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
That's awesome. So somebody tweets out, depressed Dolphin fan. Tweets out, Giants, we messed up with Daniel Jones because we keep changing OCs and O-line coaches. Also, Giants, we should hire Brian Flores. That is awesome. That is awesome. I love it. Yes.
Adam Schefter's also saying the Giants this weekend will probably decide on who their head coach will be. So maybe that might take over some of the...
I hope for entertainment purposes it's Brian Flores. I'm serious, dude. I just am going to laugh my ass off and make fun of it because it's going to be good, bro.
He's interviewing for the Saints job as well.
Who?
Brian Flores.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Good for him, bro. Nick Cap says, you guys don't deserve the Cats. Sorry. Okay, Nick. Thanks. Let's see, what else do we have here? Super V, for those of you who have been listening to the Big O over the years, He always admits when he's wrong, but most of the time I can attest to him being right about certain people and topics in sports. What can I tell you? It happens. Big O's always knowing what's going on in the Dolphin organization. Now, we just guess. We guess what's going on in the Dolphins organization. That's all. We're really good guessers in the Dolphin organization. No connections. I don't know anybody. I don't talk to anybody for 32 years. Just guessing. Dougie Fresh says, looking forward to your interview with Richard Williams. Kansas is a band known for a handful of epic hits, yet is way more substantive and necessary to the American rock genre. I'm with you. Kansas is so awesome. And I'm going to talk to Richard about this at 10:45 because they're opening up with people from the Southwind. And that is like, oh, man, to open up the concert with people of the Southwind. I love it. I love it. The Monolith album. Man. It's good. It is good. So I'm looking forward to talking to Richard. I'm glad because they don't play people of the Southwind in every tour. So when they do, I get excited because that's one of my favorite songs. You know, I love it. So I love Marshall Tucker. In fact, I need to text Doug Gray. I was on stage with Marshall Tucker at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater singing. So Doug's been on the show. And I've kept in contact with Doug Gray from Marshall Tucker. I don't mean to brag a little bit, but what sucks is I can't go backstage. COVID. Can't go backstage, bro. Like, I'm super tight with Kansas. And, like, you know, it's I go backstage for every Kansas show. Can't go this year. So I can't go meet Doug Gray, give him a hug and talk to him. Can't meet any of the guys from Kansas and BS with them and hang out. Every time they come, I get to hang out with them because I've gotten pretty close to the Kansas band over the years. And then Doug Gray has kind of become a little bit of a friend of the show. And he's such a good man, by the way, Doug Gray, lead singer there for Marshall Tucker. So I'm looking forward to it. I just hate that I can't go backstage to say hi to the fellas. That part would have been fun. So, yeah. David Triana says, oh, random question. If you didn't get into this business, what's another job you wish you could have had? Oh, rock DJ, bro. I mean, that's just automatic. I still might do some of that if I would get the opportunity. I might, you know. But it would have to be like a mom and pop rock station. I don't know about a full-fledged corporate. You know, I don't know if I want to go under, I don't know if I want to work under those kind of constraints anymore. Because I had to deal with it for so many years and fight it all the time. And I remember one time, let me give you examples. So I know Pat Sertan's not playing in a game. So we pre-record the Wanstead show. And Wanstead's talking about how, you know, the Hank asks him about Sertan and where he's, oh, no, he's practicing. He's, you know, we're hoping he's going to do a good job this weekend, you know. And Wanstead talks him up like he's going to play. But I know he's not playing. And so I'm not allowed to report the story. Can you imagine that? It's like, okay, you're paying me to be a beat reporter. You're paying me to break news. Well, actually, you're not really paying me to break news. I broke news on my own. But it's like, you know, oh, no, we have a relationship with the team. So this is the kind of crap that I had to deal with for many, many, many years. Like when I roasted Al Golden at the ACC Media Days, do you know how, you know the kind of crap I had to deal with behind the scenes for that? Why? Because you're supposed to go there and just kiss their ass. And that's not me. I'm not doing that. I'm going to ask you a tough question whether you like it or not. You know? And so those corporate settings piss me off because there's no objectivity, you know? And that's been the problem in the media is that these corporations have kind of taken that out at different levels. And so you take the job, and then, you know, a lot of people there have to, they need the job, you know, that's the only place they're going to be able to work in doing this kind of stuff. They're not going to be able to do what we're doing here. They're not that blessed. And so it's a pain in the ass. And trust me, when you can do this on your own, you don't want to go back to a corporate setting. So yeah, only thing I would love to do would be a rock DJ. Yeah. Obviously, the ultimate job I could ever have would be a rock singer. But I don't have a voice for that. I don't have the talent for that. Good Lord didn't bless me with that ability. So it would be a rock DJ. That would be the other thing that I would do. What are you laughing at? What did somebody say?
The party's over, Bubba goes, damn, Big O in 4K.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Oh, because we figured out the camera was too close to us. It wasn't it's the same camera. But we got like a different tripod, and it's like a little bit more away now. And so it actually looks, you know, better. I don't. Now you get to see the full ugliness of me. I apologize for all of that. Okay. I've been trying to tell Sean, can we do something to ease this on people? And he's like, no, dude, you know, you will torture them.
Only on post-production can I put the little blurry face on you.
There you go. Would be the best thing for all of you out there. I should walk in like that with my wife, like a big blurry face, and she'd probably be happy.
We just do the shadow. What's the, like, when somebody's trying to stay hidden?
Oh,
the informants. Just yeah, have you in as a shadow.
Yeah,
just sitting there.
That's it. That's it. Big O would be a great cigar seller. Oh yeah, baby. Little Perdomo 20th anniversary, right? Yeah, no, I'm with you. I could definitely sell and Perdomo cigars with the flavor, the construction, the pool, and you know, you could be, of course, living on the edge with a Perdomo. See, that's the beauty right there. A little edge, a little Tito's vodka, and then a Perdomo cigar. Woo! That's a perfect weekend right there, kicking back. Did Al Golden make you wear a tie, Big O? No. Big O, who was the QB that had an outstanding come-from-behind game, and they ended up putting him on the practice squad, then eventually releasing him, and then signed by the Eagles? Oh, it was God, I'm forgetting the kid's name now. Reed Sinnott. Oh, yeah, Dalrymple has it right there. David Dalrymple. Right, Reed Sinnott was the name of the kid. Living on the Edge is a fantastic song, by the way. Yes, it is. And Edge Energy Drink is also a fantastic energy drink. Super smooth, baby. And Sean's new hookup. Sean's on the edge now all the time. Sean is living on the edge all the time. He's walking around like in a Bon Jovi song.
I love it. It is the smoothest.
Isn't it?
And no aftertaste.
That's why I can't.
I know we say it over and over.
I hate energy drinks because of all that stupid aftertaste. Yeah. And Edge has nothing, bro.
It really is.
It's pretty awesome. It really is. Rosenda says, good Friday morning, Big O Nation, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make your face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Well, thank you, Rosendo. That is very kind of you there on the chat board. I like it. Big O, I could see you working at WKRP in Cincinnati. I love it. I love it. Yeah, baby. Hanging out with Venus Flytrap. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Let's hang out with Richard Williams from Kansas. Let's do that. Tomorrow night at Magic City, Doug Gray and Marshall Tucker are going to be opening up for Richard Williams and Company of Kansas. Of course, I'm a monster Kansas fan, as all of you know out there. I've seen Richard many times live, and now he is kind enough to join us here on the program. Richard, how you doing, my friend? You feeling good?
Doing great.
I like it. You ready to jam tomorrow night?
Yeah, we're jamming tonight. We're going to do it the next night and the next night after that.
I love it. I love it. And by the way, I cheated like I normally do. I go to setlist.fm. You know about setlist.fm, right? That's that website that we all go to find out the song list of bands that you're going to go see. And when I saw you're opening up with People of the South Wind, I just, you know, because you don't play that one on every tour. So I just want to thank you because that's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Well, it'll be a little bit different for you because the first five songs are set up. We call ourselves the Stools. It's all acoustic.
Sure, I know.
And it comes off extremely well. It becomes off very powerful. Ronnie really sings it well. And so we kind of ease into the set a bit because the middle part, again, is a collection of songs from our whole career. Then eventually we get into Point of No Return in its entirety. So it's about an hour or two and a half, 2 hours and 20 minutes long, the entire set.
Yeah. Well, listen, Richard, it helps when you're great musicians and your harmonies are just absolutely amazing. So when you're able to do that, people of the South Wind, whether it's acoustic style or electric style, it doesn't matter. It's going to sound phenomenal. And that's the one thing that I give you guys so much credit, Richard. You've always been a great band, but you've always maintained that level throughout the decades. You've made a couple of changes along the way, but those changes have been strong changes, and you've maintained that high level that you guys have always had throughout your careers. I commend you for that.
Out of necessity, really, we've always been a bunch of mutts. We couldn't get along on our looks, so we really had to do it with some measurable talent.
Yes, and there's no doubt when it comes to lyrics and music and arrangement and harmonies and singing, it's just absolutely amazing when it comes to Kansas. I gotta also tell you this. Miracles Out of Nowhere is a biography I think I've watched like 8 times already over the years. And I don't know how much fun you guys had making this or being a part of it. Maybe you can walk us through that. But I got to tell you that as a Kansas fan, I just find myself every couple of months wanting to watch it over again just to see if I pick up on something I didn't pick up on the last time around. But it is such an enjoyable biography. I think yours and the Eagles are two of my favorites that I've watched over and over again because it is so detailed on telling your story.
Well, it was a process. I happened to be in Topeka with my wife, Debbie, and just seeing friends. And Phil and I had been kind of talking about a book of just, you know, loosely, you know, maybe one day we should tell the story before we're no longer here. Kicking that around. And then while in Topeka, I was just noticing, keeping that in mind, that every time I walked around a corner, there was another story to tell. I was just, you know, oh, remember the time when? And so we started saying, well, maybe this should be more, maybe an audio book, and it should involve more people. And so as we were still brainstorming on it, it turned into maybe get everybody's input. Well, we need to get everybody here, you know, so we can kind of get all our thoughts together. Well, then an old manager, Bud Carr, started getting involved too, and they started saying, well, this needs to be a documentary. And so it kept growing and growing until then we had to agree exactly what is this going to be about. We did not want it to be the story of naughty boys doing naughty things, because you take any band anywhere and you can tell that story. It's kind of old news. Fill in the gaps. Imagine, yeah, we did it, or somebody did.
Right.
And I probably did. So it had to be an inspirational story. Or some people didn't really want anything to do with it. And so now we had a framework. Well, since the story is continuing today, we need to have an ending point. So we ended up, you know, with the original six, you know, and just so far into our career, before, you know, more of the glory days. And so now there was a parameter and a reason for the story. And then getting everybody together all in the same rooms again was fantastic. And it just kind of flowed out of us. We had a great director who put it all together and very proud of it. It's funny, I hadn't seen it in a while. And my wife and I had moved from Atlanta a year ago up into the mountains of North Carolina. We just installed a television in the kitchen. And that was the only thing we had on just to put on. And we came on towards the end of it. And I caught myself just watching it and watching it, still captivated by it. And then the end came and we got all dewy-eyed. it still is moving to me. And so we're very proud of how that worked out.
You should be. And for me, it's as a fan, I love watching it. I could never get enough of it. Is there something now after all these years you're going, damn, we left something out. We should have put this. What is it?
There could be a story here or there, but I think the essence of what we wanted to say, mm-hmm. that we were a band, we were friends, and this was our journey from the middle of nowhere to the top of the mountain. And that was really the story. And we could add this and take away that, but we did achieve that story within that. And so very satisfied with it.
Is there a part of you that you're unhappy with the fact that you haven't been given the honor that you guys deserve? Because I don't believe you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, correct?
No. We're in really good company, though.
Why? There's
an incredible bunch of musicians out there that aren't and probably never will be. And that's okay.
But you know what's going to happen, Richard? You know, it's like watching Deep Purple get in, and then we got to watch John Lord's wife there. You know what I'm saying? And it's, I don't want to do that,
Around.
We lost
Robbie Steinhardt last year.
We just lost Robbie Steinhardt. And I was, I saw you guys back in the Monolith days and all that. But I was so lucky a couple of years ago. Robbie came on stage with you guys over in this place in Miramar that you guys were at. And he came on for like two songs. And it was really cool to see him there with you guys. And, it sucks that we lost Robbie already. And this is an honor that all of you should be enjoying and sharing, because you've earned the right to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You are a Hall of Famer, Richard Williams.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but I'll speak for myself. Personally, I don't need the slap on the back. I know what we've done, and I'm very proud of what we've done. But for our fans, for our family members, for my grandchildren, it means a lot for a legacy. They can go there and, take my grandchildren, take their children there and say, this is what your great grandfather did. That means a lot to them. And so it would mean a lot to me, but we're still working. We're still busy. It's not really, maybe I'm sitting in a chair with an ascot and a pipe, petting the Irish setter, I might kind of think about it, but we're way too busy to concern ourselves with that.
Yeah, you're right. By the way, one of our listeners says, for Richard, we've always heard about Neil Peart and Stuart Copeland, who deserve their praise. However, Phil Earhart is one of the most underrated drummers in rock. And by the way, one tough some bitch too, because I remember a couple years back, he fell off the drum kit and he was banged up, and yet he kept the tour going and all that, and he was injured. So let's give Phil the love he deserves too, Richard.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we've both taken our lumps. 5 years ago, I walked off a stage in the dark and broke an ankle, beat up, but the next week I was playing from a chair. It's what you do. Phil had to hobble around with a cane for a while. But he wasn't going to give it up. And through rehab, Phil's playing better than ever now. I told him that the other day. I think you're playing better than you ever have. And we've been playing together since we were 16 years old.
It's amazing. It simply is amazing. Is the rush the same for you every time you take the stage? Because I know tomorrow night I'll have goosebumps the second you guys take
take the stage. So I want you to know that I get the same goosebumps watching you when I was 15 years old. And now that I'm 55, you know, watching you, it's the same thing for me. So how is it for you when you're about to take the stage?
I was born to do this, but my constitution isn't one of, get me on that stage. I'm still nervous. I'm nervous before every show. I hide it well. But 1, 2, 3, go, and suddenly you get in the moment and you do it. But I woke up today. We've been off for a few weeks. I woke up today with a pit in my stomach, just going, "Oh God, we got a show tonight," and there are nerves to it. That's a part I don't care for, but I also understand that it is that keeps me on my toes, because I'm as hard as anybody would ever be on myself to make sure I'm prepared. Did I practice enough? I forgot to go over that song for the 8th time, yesterday. So, it's kind of a necessity for me to get my head in the game. Some people just walk out nonchalant, just go, "Oh, let's have fun," and without a care. That's never been me. I've always been nervous about it. But when the moment starts, there's nothing on earth that can replace the start of a show. There was a time when we had a few years off, and suddenly we were back on the road again. And at the time, we had a curtain surrounding the stage, and it would fill up with smoke. And then as the song started, the stage would open and the fog would pour out. So we're standing in our positions. I lurked and I reached over to Phil and said, "This moment is what has been missing in our lives for the last 2 years. That anticipation of, hang on, because here we go."
Right.
And there's nothing in life that will ever fill that.
Kind of almost feels like when you go click, 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 click on the roller coaster, and right when you're about to take that dip, that's where the excitement starts. It's kind of like what you're talking about. I feel you. Richard, before I let you go, you're a Chiefs fan. So what do you got to say about your Chiefs this weekend?
Burrow's is tough, and they've been tough against Kansas City. It's a scary game. I'm glad it's at home. But I always watch Chiefs games peeking through my fingers and focusing on every negative thing that happens. Another holding call. How could you drop that pass? But I'm sure people that are fans of the team playing against them are peeking through their fingers going, "Oh, what a nightmare. We've got to play the Chiefs."
Yeah. Well, can you imagine a Bengals fan who hasn't had a slither of the success that you and your fan base has had? You know what I'm saying? It's got to be a lot worse for Bengals fans.
It's got to be. I watched the game the next day on the NFL Network after watching the game live. And I really enjoyed it the second time through because I didn't scream. I didn't pound the bed. I wasn't shocked in horror to be instantly the happiest man on earth, to be suddenly stunned beyond. I mean, that was when it was 13 seconds left and they had just scored. I just sat sideways on the bed and stared at the wall that I can't believe this has just happened.
Right.
I was so upset. And boom, two plays, and they score and tie the game. Now I'm insane again. It was the most up and down. And I just put up on my Facebook page just a picture of the Chiefs logo. I didn't even have anything to say. Everybody else was saying it for me. The best game they have ever seen. Yeah. And my thought was, before they hiked the ball 13 seconds, win or lose, that's the best game I've ever seen. And then it got better. sports announcers, guys that have been in the business for 50 years, saying that's the greatest game I've ever seen. And that was by far the best playoff weekend of all time. All four games, stellar.
Yeah, Yeah, it was a great, great weekend. And if the overtime rules weren't different, we'd still be playing that game right now because it seems like nobody was stopping anybody. It was amazing.
I have a prediction. It would be because of that game, and it's been in the wind anyway, that game is going to cause that rule to change.
We'll see.
Yeah, I really feel that because the Chiefs got burnt by that by Tom Brady 4 years ago. And now, Buffalo got burnt on the same rule.
Yeah, I'm old school, Richard. I'm old school. You got to play some defense too, man. So I blame the team that allows them to score. I mean, you got to stop somebody, man, at one point or another, you know?
But imagine how tired both those defenses were as they were just being torched.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy stuff. Richard, thank you for taking some time. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow night here in Miami at Magic City. For those of you, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Magic City Casino. Marshall Tucker Band will open up, and then Kansas will take over and jam for over 2 hours, and will put together an amazing performance like they always do. Richard, you are fantastic, sir. I'm sad that because of COVID, I don't get to go backstage to meet you guys again and even Doug over at Marshall Tucker. So sadly, the pandemic's not going to allow us to do that. But I am grateful for you taking time here to join us and the listeners and doing your thing.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Appreciate you. There you go. The great Richard Williams, man. Guitarist for Kansas, who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right. Our number two is next. And you know who's next? It is Manny Navarro in our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes report.